Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Isn't God good? He's so mindful of us, and we appreciate His goodness. And so I'm so grateful today that we have an opportunity to come and serve Him and just enjoy His Word. Amen. One of the things that this Torah portion is very specific about is making sure that we understand the Word that Jehovah spoke, and make sure we're living to those words. And so this is what we find in Yaakov's life. And so we know he was told to leave from Laban and go back to the land. And so he gets up and he starts, but he knows he's got trouble there. He's got problems there. And he's got to face those problems. You know, as long as you're not having to confront whatever your situation is, you can kind of get by those days. But if you've been given a date that you got to go and you got to confront, you're going to get nervous as it gets closer. And the day of, you're really going to be nervous, and you're going to say, man, it's the day of. But you got to confront those issues. And sometimes in our lives, personally, there's some issues we got to confront. And you can drag it on as long as you want, but they'll not go away. You still got to confront those issues. And that's where Yaakov was. Here he is 20 years. He spent in Haran. Now he's got to go back to the land, but he's got to confront some things. And Esau is one of the major things he's got to confront. And he knows that. And so we have to grab hold to the Word of God and let it minister to our lives as we look at these Torah portions and we use what it's teaching us every day in our life. So I'm just going to quickly give you the title again. We're in portion number 8, Vayishlach. It's Hebrew for, and he sent. And what he's talking about, he sent the messengers to check and see what was the approach of Esau. How was this meeting going to happen? And how many know he didn't get real good news back? The news wasn't great, so that makes it's like doubling down on being nervous and anxiety and all this stuff. But he had to face all of these things because we have a Yaakov eventually is going to have his name changed to Israel, and he's going to bring about the 12 tribes of Israel. So the purpose of his life, the task at hand is great. So he's got to get over some things. He's got to get through some issues. And sometimes we let our situation or our circumstance hinder us from the dream that Jehovah has put in our life. So he gives us a dream, and we don't chase that dream because we always got a reason. I didn't do this, or this didn't happen. If this would have happened, I could have done it. But we let go of what he spoke to us, and instead of pursuing what he spoke to us, we don't do that because of the situation that we never dealt with. Because when we deal with that situation, it frees us. We're free to embrace the dream that he's given us. Instead, what do? We cancel out the dream and say we wait for something else. Then we're praying constantly, Lord, if you'll just speak to me, if you'll show me what to do. Well, he has. He has, but you refuse to do that. And so we have to make sure that we'll humble ourselves before Jehovah and submit to it. You can fight it all you want, but you don't win that. You don't win it. And so you got to come to rest in the fact that this is what he called for your life. This is what he has picked you for, and you're okay with it, and you let him take you wherever you're going to go in that journey. Amen? So think about this. Vayishlach, Hebrew for, and he sent. And so he sent the messengers returned. Not so good news. But nonetheless, Yaakov still has to go back to the land because he's got the covenant's where? In the land. Remember that. So let me go back where we stopped. I'm going to be close to somewhere around this Tov. We was dealing with Tov. So we'll look at this. We'll start right here. I just backed up a couple. When something is working properly, we might say today something like, working like a well-oiled machine. How many of you know there's nothing worse than having something that should work a certain way and it don't work that way. Especially if it's brand new. If you bought it and your intention when you bought this that it works a certain way and yet it's not performing at that degree, you're frustrated because you're paying for it to work at that degree. It's like a boat. You buy a motor and say you bought a 300 horsepower and you get out there and it's only hitting on four cylinders. And you know it's got more power than that, but you can't even get on the swell. Is that going to be not frustrating? That's going to be very frustrating because you paid all this money for something with power, and instead of you having the power, you got about half the power. And that's the thing that Yehovah is trying to get Yaakov to understand. I want you to work like a well-oiled machine. And it's not going to have no creaks in it. It's not going to have no squeaks in it. You're going to work. It's going to be smooth if you'll just go back to my word. Remember, he always points Yaakov back to what he said. And now, how many know that's important? What Yehovah, what he says is important, and we got to keep mental notes of that. We got to write them down if we can't keep a mental note. Listen, if you're not good at keeping a mental note, write it down. But you got to go back to what he said and make sure you're doing what he said. It's very important. And so we find that happening when speaking of that which is functioning the way it should and the way it was designed to. So we got this word tov and its meaning. And so and we see this in Genesis where Yehovah looks and everything that he created, he saw that it was tov. We could translate that word as he saw that it was functional. What I built it for, it's actually doing. What I designed it to do, it's doing that. And so you ever wonder what you're built for? You ever wonder what you were designed for? You ever wonder why you're saved and still not lost in the mire and the muck of sin? You ever wondered that? You ever wondered why he reached down his hand and pulled you up and gave you a brand new start? You ever wondered that? It's not just to be sitting idle and drinking milk. It's more than that. Remember, we was exhorted last week. He said, when you ought to be teachers, you ought to be teaching, you're not doing it. Let me tell you why we all have to get this. It has to be an intense study that we fall into to get this, because you don't know what Yehovah has planned for your tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Well, he'll put somebody in your life. Most of the time, it's going to be a person, maybe you, a family member, or maybe someone you don't know. But he's going to give you that engagement to see where you are. You don't want to be fumbling with your words. You want to be working like a well-oiled machine. That's what you want to be doing. And we can't get there. I mean, you know, the machine don't get well-oiled unless you well-oil it. If you don't take care of it, it's going to creak. It's going to squeak. It's going to do a lot of things. But if you're actually doing the maintenance necessary in order for it to do the job that it's been purposed to do, like Yaakov is purposed to do a job. And it's not an easy job that he's got, but he's purposed to do that job. But one thing God was trying to get him to do is to make sure he looks to the word, because that's what's going to keep him. That's what's going to keep him engaged and in tune with what God has for him. And so we see this in this word. So Tov, Strong's 2896, in the true sense of the word, expresses the idea of something is good when it is fulfilling the action for which a person or thing is specifically fitted or used or for which something exists. Now, you can call good whatever you want. Because I ask people, how you doing? I'm good. That don't necessarily mean that's true. You know, we don't want to put ourselves out there like we're actually hurting. We're crying on the inside. You have no idea how much hell I've been through this week. But when you tell the pastor, I'm good. You understand? Are you actually good in the fact that the way it's described scripturally? In the truth, expressing something that is good when it is fulfilling the action for which the person or thing was specifically fitted or used for the use. Are you actually good in that sense? Maybe we'll watch how we say, I'm good. We ought to watch that, because are we? Are we actually performing at the level that Yehovah has designed for us? Because we say good because it takes the heat off of us right away. We say it real fast, and everybody says, okay, I asked if they were good. They said they were good. They didn't say anything. But the next day you find out that they had a nervous breakdown. I just asked them if they were good. We just had this conversation. But you understand that just because you say it fast don't mean it fixes itself. Sometimes you got to wrestle to the break of dawn with the word. You got to wrestle to the break of dawn with the word. And we're going to see that happen in this Torah portion. In other words, it refers to something that functions within its intended purpose. Functions within its intended purpose. The opposite of tov, which is good, is evil, which is Hebrew as ra. Strong 7:4-5:1, meaning bad, evil, wicked, harmful. The tree of knowledge in the garden was of tov and ra. Was the tree of knowledge of what? Good and evil. So it was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we might as well get over what happened in the garden, because every one of us has been exposed to what's good and evil. Now, by the help of the Torah, the word of Yehovah, is the only way we can exercise our way and make sure that we're fit to come out of and just look at what's good. Because our eyes, I mean, you're walking around, and when you walk around, if you're going to a place let's say you're going to a park, your eyes don't just see the good. How many of you ever had your eyes come on evil? And you might turn like that because you instantly knew that ain't good. Or maybe your ears will hear something that's evil. You go, ooh, that ain't good. You're exposed to it every day of your life. But it's our job to make sure that we know that. We know that we're exposed to it every day, but sometimes we act like we're not, like we're in a bubble or something. Let me just explain this to you. You're not in a bubble. You're exposed to it every day unless you have made sure that the machine is well-oiled and fit for that day. You're probably going to fail in that day. You're going to start squeaking. The tire's going to start wobbling. The axle is going to fall off. Something's going to happen. And you can relate to what I'm saying because you've had it happen before in your life. But we got to go back and see why did it happen? Because we weren't good when we said we were. So Yaakov, if he's wrestling after an hour, you good? Most church folks say, I'm good. He knew he wasn't good. He knew he still had some things going on with Laban, how he tricked him for 20 years. He changed his wages 10 times. You get upset about that and you carry those things. He wasn't good. And we got to quit saying we are when we know we got some things we got to work on. Amen? So we start today's service. What would it be if we just said, when we have prayer, anybody need prayer? No, we're all good. We're not all good. I need prayer. I need you to be praying for me every day. Because we think we're somewhere when we're really not. And it's going to be the situation that's going to tell on us. So Yaakov, he's in the second hour. He's holding on. Am I going to make it? I'm not good. I can't let you go. I still got this Esau problem. How do I get past that? So you see, he's overwhelmed with all the stuff he's got going on. Not to mention, he's got two groups of people that he separated. And now there he is between the two bodies of water on the ford. How many know where the ford is? He crossed the ford. He went to the river where it would be water. Then the bank would show, like a sandbar sticking out, and then bank water again. He got on the ford between two pieces of water. And that's where it happened. He was separated by himself, just him and Yehovah. And he said, I'm not good. And that's one of the things we got to get over. Just because you say you are don't mean you are. Let me understand that. And the only way we get there is we have to constantly pursue the word. You have to pursue the word. And what we're really wrestling with in life, what we really wrestle with in life is really the word. Now he's wrestling with the man, But what he really was wrestling with is the word, what Jehovah said. And so we can continue to wrestle all of our life with what Jehovah said, or we can just open it up. We can be honest with ourselves and say, this is what he said, and I don't want to let him down. I ain't here to impress people. I ain't here to impress anybody here. I don't want to let him down. I'm going to do what it told me to do, and that's the bottom line. I'm not here to be a part of a group that's doing it this way or that way. I'm here to make sure that I'm doing what he asked me to do. And so what happens when when we get entangled with traditions of men and you come out, your tendency or your habit is to get back on traditions of men. You have a tendency because that was your fail. That's where you felt safe. You felt safe there, was secure, because a lot of people was doing it. And we get secure in what a lot of people is doing. But how many notice that what Jehovah did, he separated Yaakov. He even separated him from his own people. He separated him from his wife and his children. And all that he had, he separated him. He got it. He put him on the floor, and there he was, broke. He had nothing. And he's asked, are you good? Think about that. We know his answer by his posture. I'm not good. I'm not good at all. I want to turn around and go back and kick Laban in the face is what I want to do for what he did. And what I should do, because you have to understand, like we said last night, Yaakov was no slouch. Now, Esau, and I mentioned this, if he wouldn't took the approach to be honest with Jehovah, and he didn't went to war, it wouldn't have been good for Esau or Yaakov. How many understand that? Wouldn't have been good for either one. Now, I can't tell you who the one, but I can tell you this. It would have been a serious battle. It wouldn't have been Esau just comes and mops him up. Because remember, Jehovah was with Yaakov. Don't forget that. He was with him. And if he's for you, who could be against you? And God's plan was in the life and purpose of Yaakov, not in Esau. He said, I hate Esau, but I love Yaakov. Now, I don't know if you want to deduce who you thought might have won. I can tell you it wouldn't have been good for neither one, because God was trying to get Yaakov to realize fighting is not how you get it. Fighting is not how you get it. The way you get it is when you wrestle with my word and find out the stuff that's going on the inside of you, I could fix it if you let me. That fight that you have going on the inside of you, I can fix it if you'll let me do it for you. And that's what it was all about. He was trying to get him to understand, I want to do it for you, but you got to let me do it. And so we know something changed in him, because he hung on and he wouldn't let go. He wouldn't stop. He knew he wanted what Jehovah had for him. And he wants for all of us the same thing. Just as we understand that Tov represents that which is functional, we can then see that Ra represents that which is dysfunctional. So we either functional, and if we're not functional, we're what? We're dysfunctional by default. That's what it is. Because if we're not functional, we're dysfunctional. There's no in-between. He's not saying, oh, you're good, you just kind of stay right there until you figure it out. He said, we're either functional or we're dysfunctional. And how many know we don't want to live in dysfunction? Because then we're not living to what we were created to be. If he calls it good, it means it's actually doing what it was created to do. How many believe here you was created to live in sin in the muck and mire of filth? You think you were created for that? He didn't create you for that. We was created in his image and his likeness. We were created to spend forever with him. Does that mean anything to anybody? Forever with him we was created to be with him. Now, Yeshua understood this perfectly. He understood it absolutely perfectly. When he was born, he knew from a very young age what he was born for. At 12, he makes this statement, I'm about my father's business. I'm about my father's business. Think about that. So he understood at a very young age. And did he turn from that at any time? He never turned from, not one time. He knew what he was created for. And he knew that part of that function that he would have was going to die. He knew that. One day, I'm going to die for all of humanity. So, Father, I just want you to know, Think about this. Tomorrow, they're going to kill me. They're going to kill me tomorrow. They're going to put me on a cross and they're going to put me in a borrowed tomb. Tomorrow it's going to happen. I just want you to know, I'm reminding you, Lord, they're going to do this to me. Don't forget me. He's letting him know that I'm going to walk this thing out to its fullest. And we see that in Yeshua. So it's not like we don't have an example. And remember, that's the one that we are supposed to be mimicking our life after. We're supposed to be our life. When we look at Yeshua, our life's supposed to mimic his life. He's the only one that we have that did it perfectly. But what was his go-to every single time? What was his go-to? He made sure that his attitude, his lifestyle, everything wasn't stretching past the word. He kept it in the perimeters of the word. The word of God is what kept him. It's the word that kept him. And he communicated that with that directly. And we see that happen for all of us today. We can have the same happen if we spend that time. Sometimes you got to wrestle with it because that's what it is. You know, the reason why we're feeling the way we feel sometimes, the reason why we have dysfunction going on is because we're wrestling with it and we won't give in to what the word is saying. You got to give in to it. I know you're trying to figure it out yourself, but you can't figure it out. That's why we needed a Savior. If we could have figured it out, we wouldn't need a Savior. We need a Savior because we fail miserably when it comes to how we conduct our life and how we work our life out in society. We failed at it. But Yeshua never failed. How many understand that? He never failed. He did it exactly the way the Father wanted him to do it. And now we're supposed to be an extension of him. Think about that. We sing that song about the body. What's how it goes? We are the body. We are the, how it goes, why are these hands reach? How the song goes? Maybe we don't sing it here. But I've heard it before. So think about it. If we are the body, then we ought to be doing something. The whole point of the song is, if you're the body, you ought to be acting like the head. Amen? Now, the head is where the brain is. So what we're trying to do as the body, we're trying to be the brain, and we're not the brain. We're not the brain. We can't think our way through serving God. Because you're going to have a thought, and you're going to have a thought. Everybody's going to have a thought and an idea, and this is the way I feel like I need to do it. You don't think your way through serving God. You do what he said. I mean, that makes more sense. That way, if everybody here is doing what he said, we're all doing the same thing, not something different. Now, I'm eventually get to these slides. But we have to make sure that we don't think that we're the brain. If Yeshua's the head, we know where the brain is, in the head. And so he left us instructions. How many thank God he left us instructions? What are those instructions? If we had to say one word that he used, one word that describes the instructions that he used, what word that word be? The Torah. Because that's exactly what he used. And that can be proven multiple thousands of times throughout the text. Yet we see people build whole denominations off of one little silly statement that they don't know what it means. And they'll dead set, they'll die for that one little statement. But we got thousands of things that not just implied, they're definitely said. And we don't build nothing on that. That's amazing to me. We may often think something is good, yet if it is not functional, according to the plumb line of the Torah of Jehovah, then we had best be careful to consider our steps. Best be careful to consider our steps. Think about that. You ever been working with somebody and they're making a measurement and it's a little off? And you say, we got to measure that again. They say, no, that's good. Cut it. Well, you go put it in and it's short. And you say, I told you it was short. We should have measured it again. But we get where we, it's okay. It's not okay, especially if you're dealing with a boat. Now, if you're building a tree house, you probably get by with that. You just get your wood stretcher. In Orphea, they call it a pipe stretcher. You send a guy for the pipe stretcher, and he goes for it, you know, okay, I got me one here. But we, instead of us just taking our time and going back and look at the instructions, and it says put this measurement, and you go back and you measure, and you cut it, and there it fits perfectly. If you're dealing with a boat, you got to make sure your cuts are right, because you're going to be in that boat, and your life depends on it. And so we'll see this, how he makes this very clear to us, that if it's not according to the plumb line of the Torah of Yehovah, then we're wrong, not the Torah. We're the ones short. It's not the Word of God. And so what happens? You can wrestle with that. Now, why do we know? What's the importance? Some people wrestle and some people wrestle and won't let go. There's a big difference between the two. Because I was watching this wrestling match the other day, and the two guys are just there like that. They ain't touching each other, but they like that. And they went around the circle for about 3 minutes, and the bell rang. Now, if we'd have said, if you'd have looked at it and said, what they doing? You said wrestling. Well, it's true in a sense, because that's what they called it, but what they did was not wrestle. They were dancing. You understand? And so some people call what they're doing wrestling with the Torah, but they're not really wrestling, because when you wrestle with the Torah, you actually grab it and you won't let it go until the break of dawn, until it changes what you've been grabbing it for. You understand? A big difference. You grab hold to it and you won't let go. He said, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. He was wanting to get it done. He had to get those Esau problems done and his Laban problems done, because he knew what he was becoming. He was becoming a real force to be dealt with, Yaakov. And ultimately be 12 tribes who would march across the land and conquer, until they did what? They left this, and they paid the price for it. We see it time and time again. Yaakov went to Laban with only his staff, and now after 20 years he had amassed two groups of people with plenty of herds and flocks, and he accredited this to Yehovah. And in this moment of great distress, he acknowledged that he did not have what he had because he deserved any of it. And because Yehovah extended his loving commitment to him based on his covenant promise. That right there is very, very important, because he realizes that when I left my home and I went to Haran, I only had a staff. That's all I had. He had no wife. He had nothing. No herd. Not one. He had a staff. So that means he wasn't riding. He was walking. That's what he had. And now he leaves after 20 years of living in deception, but Yehovah somehow manages to bless him with two groups of people. How incredible. And many, many herds. How incredible is that? That Yaakov says, everything you gave me, I don't deserve any of it. Can you see how he's getting himself ready to grab hold to the Torah and not let go until he blesses him? He's getting ready. Something's about to happen to him, and it's going to change his life forever. And I want you to see the importance, because what we really need is we really need life changing. So what happens is sometimes we think life change is the feast I go to, or the service that I attend, or the tzitzis that I wear. Life change is past all of that. Those things are important, but life change is past, because life change really gets down to what you can't really put on. You can't put it on. It's deep on the inside. Nobody knew what Yaakov was feeling when it came as far as Laban was concerned. Nobody knew what he was feeling and how he was being attacked. He's a trickster. He did this to you. You can get him back. You can get him back. But instead of confronting that, he left secretly. Notice all these things. Every bit that happens is very important. He leaves secretly. And nobody knows the fear that gripped him when it comes to Esau. That made him feel like he couldn't handle it. Yet, instead of him giving into that fear, he humbled himself and he asked Jehovah for instructions. And he did what Jehovah asked him to do. Think about that. We too must learn from these words, as we see many people today who think that they deserve to be blessed and assume a name, claim it, false prosperity, understanding, have little or no regard for the true fact that all we have is a result of Jehovah's loving commitment toward his covenant. And we can be immensely thankful that he hears our cry when we call upon him. And so this is what is taught a lot of times. It don't matter how you live. Just name it and claim it. Speak it. Speak it and you'll have it. Speak it and you'll have it. Well, to think about Yaakov, what he did. He realized that everything I have is from Jehovah. Have you come to that spot in your life? Everything you have. Because when you do come to that spot, you're going to realize that you don't have to get so upset when somebody infringes on something that you think you possess. The moment you get upset about it, you haven't given that to Jehovah. You don't really believe that he's the one that gave that to you. You say that, but you don't believe it, because the moment somebody steps on it, you take offense to it and you get explosive. Now, Pastor Josh talked about this a little bit last night. You can't do that. If it's Jehovah's, then you let him deal with it. If you believe that it's him that gave everything to you, you don't have to become irate and so upset when something happens to what you believe he has given to you. And you made that proclamation. You said, everything I own belongs to him. You've given it all to him. So if it goes away the next day, should you be upset about that? If you said it's his, then he obviously knew it was going to go away. The moment you take ownership of it, then you feel like all the pressure that comes with losing it overwhelms you, and you can't handle the situation. Many people go through that. But if Jehovah is your provider, then what's yours is yours. Because he's the protector. He's the keeper. It makes no difference. Jehovah is the keeper. Amen. We have no right to demand anything of Elohim, but rather with thanksgiving, we can present our requests and petition to him. Thanksgiving for his steadfast loving commitment to his covenants made with Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and renewed in the blood of Messiah forever. Amen. It's renewed in the blood of Messiah forever. So we give him thanks for what we have, everything. When you say everything, you ought to mean everything. It doesn't make a difference what it is. You give him thanks for it, and you make sure that you're giving him the credit that he's the provider, he's the way, no else you can have it besides him. Because let me tell you, it'll want to get there. It'll creep in. It might take its time. It might take its time. Before you know it, it'll creep in there, and it'll tie itself right to pride and say, look what I've got. Look what I've done. I worked hard, and look what I've done. And we'll get ourselves in a world of trouble. It belongs to him. You can never let that, what you have, infringe upon the purpose that you've been created for and the function in which he calls it good. He calls it functional. Amen? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 through 15. I thank Messiah Yeshua, our master, who empowered me because he counted me trustworthy, putting me into service. I want you to hear these words, because this is heartfelt. This is meaningful. He counted me worthy to put me in the service, me, although I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and an insulter. sometimes we forget what we were. So we can't truly embrace the gift that sets before us. It's always not enough. We want more because we can't forget, we forget where we were. Let me tell you, take your life and look at it and just erase Jehovah out of it and put you back in the spot you were. You don't even realize how blessed you are just to be sitting where you are. And sometimes we forget that. But listen, the apostle, he doesn't forget that. What does he say? He says, I thank Messiah Yeshua who empowered me because he counted me trustworthy, putting me into service, me, although I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and an insulter. But compassion was shown me because being ignorant, I did it in unbelief. He said, I didn't know what I was doing. Now, we're talking about this guy was well-educated. He understood the Torah, but he was uneducated. This is what he says. So think about this. Just because we're following the things of the Torah doesn't mean we're well-educated yet. Because you got to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. You can. So this is what he was, the apostle. He was doing a lot of the stuff, but he was hearing it, and said, man, I'm going to defend this word. But he never took into consideration the people he was hurting while he was defending what he believed to be the word. He called himself a blasphemer and a persecutor and an insulter. But compassion was shown me because of being ignorant. I did it in unbelief. And the favor of our master was exceedingly increased with belief and love, which are in Messiah Yeshua. Think about it. He's given all this credit because that's where the credit ought to be. If it wouldn't have been for what Yeshua done, none of us would even have where we at. None of us would have it. So before we discredit somebody else where they are, remember, you were there too. Don't discredit that person because you were there too. If it wouldn't have been for the mercy hand of God and somehow we come into agreement with what he said we should do, that's the only reason we started to find our way out of the mess. Amen? Trustworthy is the word and worthy of all acceptance. When you have a trustworthy word, you ought to accept every bit of it. We want to accept what we want to hear. Whatever I feel like doing, I accept. The rest I don't accept. You have to accept it all if it's trustworthy. And how do we know it's trustworthy? It proves itself over and over and over again to be true. That Messiah Yeshua came into the world to save sinners. Now, watch this statement. Of whom I am foremost. He came to save sinners, and that's what I am. And I'm thankful that he came to save me. Amen? But we feel like, well, I can't say that. That's not what I am. That's what I was. So you're telling me from the moment you got saved, day one, that you never sinned after that. You better thank God every day that he still saves sinners because we still having some hiccups that we got to get rid of. And let me tell you, if he'd have shut off everybody who messed up after he called them, after he gave them a promise, there would be no Torah. There would be none. But he had to be there to help you every time you slipped and fell. Every time you made a mistake, he had to be there. He's still your Savior. He's still the one who came. And he said, of whom I am foremost. Think about that. We always need a Savior every day of our life. Always. Until the eastern sky split open and Yeshua himself comes in all glory and honor, then you can call yourself saved. Up until then, the adversary is out to get you, and you got to deal with Ra. You got to deal with the good and the evil. And let me tell you, the only way you hang on to the good is you got to wrestle with the word of Yehovah, and you got to let it do the work in you. You got to hold on to it, and don't let it go until you're blessed. And sometimes we want something, but we don't really want it because we'll pray about 2 seconds about it. About a 2-second prayer, we give God. And sometimes we go an hour, man, we really want that. Really, if we pray for an hour, we don't get it, so we change to something else. Well, I don't really want that, I want this. We pray for that for about 2 hours, I don't really want that, because if it don't come right away, we switch to something else. But listen, if you want to see a miracle, whatever it came to you that you desire, hold on to it until you get it. Don't let go until you get it. you'll see some change. And let me tell you, the only reason he ain't giving it to you yet, because there's some things in you that the Word of God wants to fix, and you got to let the Torah do the work. Amen? In Luke 17, verse 10, so also you, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, when you've done all you were commanded, this is what he says to say, we are unworthy servants, we have done what was our duty to do. When you've done all the commandments, I want you to say this. We are unworthy servants. We have done what was our duty to do. I mean, see, that is a complete difference in change of character that Jehovah is asking of us. He's asking us to realize that we're just unworthy servants, and we're thankful that he gave us an opportunity to be a part of what he has. We wake up every day and we realize how awesome it is and how grateful we need to be given an opportunity to serve him. Think about that. We should always think about that. Lord, I thank you today that you have given me an opportunity to serve you. I'm so blessed to be able to serve you today. Don't get up and say, well, man, I got to do this again. I got to do the Torah again. I got this. You don't do that. That's not our attitude. Our attitude is, I'm so thankful and grateful that I've been awarded an opportunity in this part of my life. After I've done all what I've done, after the stuff I messed up in, but you gave me a chance. I'm thankful. And I want to serve you with everything that's in me. He's trying to get Yaakov to see this, because he's blessing him because he gave him the promise of the covenant. I'm going to do this. But Yaakov, the part you're at right now, I got to separate you from your stuff. I got to get you away from your wives, your children. I got to put you on this Ford. I got you to understand something. You need to realize that you got stuff on the inside of you. Until you get rid of it, I can't do nothing with you no more. I just soon let Esau come and kill you. Might as well let him come and take you out, because you're not going to do what I told you to do. Well, that day, Yaakov made his mind up. That day, he said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I'm not letting go. I got to get this out of me. It wasn't that Jehovah didn't love him. He loved him. But he said, I got stuff in me that you can't move in like you want. I sure can't go from Jacob to Israel if I don't get rid of this. So the name change is critical for us. The name change represents your character. I'm going to take you from being a heel grabber, always feeling like you're last, and I'm going to put you in the forefront, but you got to let me come in and take that stuff out of you. And if he'd only realized that earlier, he could have saved himself some trouble. But Yehovah put him in a spot. There was no turning back. He had left Laban. He had already left there. Laban, he's finished with that. But now he's in a spot. He's got to do something. And I'm thankful that Yaakov held on. I'm so thankful that he held. And I'm thankful that you're hanging on today. I'm thankful that every one of you here, you've decided, I'm going to hang on. I'm not going to let go until he blesses me. You got to be determined. Because let me tell you, just because you're called, it don't mean everything's going to go good after that. It doesn't mean that. That doesn't mean anything. Just because you're called. Being called comes with a lot of responsibility. Let me tell you that. It comes with a lot of, it's going to be less of you and more of him, definitely. And there's going to be things you won't get to do, but that's okay. Remember, you give your life to him. So why do we think that we're missing out sometimes? And that's what, they call that something that's called FOMO. And the church is suffering from FOMO big time. Like, we look out in the world and they got a song playing, the fear, we miss. What are you missing out on? You done juked to them steps already. Didn't do nothing for you. You danced to that, did nothing for you. It didn't do anything. Never healed you one time. Never gave you peace of mind. Not one time did it do that. You did all that stuff. The world paints it pretty and flashing lights to make you think, well, we over here, we're missing something. You're not missing anything. When we come from underneath the dogmas and traditions of men, we always get this fear like we're missing out. You're missing out on nothing. The only thing he's trying to tell Yaakov, he says, you got to hang on until I do it for you. And what was he telling him? What was he wrestling with actually? He was wrestling with the Torah. He was wrestling with the Torah. He was holding on to it. And he knew that I got to change this. I got to change it. I know I got to change it. But we want to hang on to what we want. We want to be bitter about something. Go and be bitter about it. Until you let Jehovah come in and clean all that up, you're just going to be bitter. That's what's going to be your end result. And you don't get to the end of the dream, the fulfillment of the dream, being bitter. You just don't do it. You got to let Jehovah do the work. Let him do it. And listen, it doesn't make a difference what I think it says. If you have a problem with what I think it says, let me just tell you, you get it. You get a hold to it. And you look at it for yourself. And I'm only telling you today, what you need to do is what Jehovah said. Just do what he said, period. You don't have to do what I tell you. Just do what he said. If you want to follow his word and actually do the things that Yeshua did, what did Yeshua do? He did what Jehovah told him, period. He spoke what he said to speak. He lived the life he told him to live, and he never changed not one bit. Now, we can use that example for us. We have a living example. We have a testament. We can go to that testament. We can open it up. You say, well, you know, I just get so confused with the Old Testament. Well, if you think you're confused, try to read the New Testament with no knowledge of the Old Testament. You're going to really be confused because you have no idea why he said the things he said. To me, when I'm reading it, and in the Bibles today, we got so many good tools. I'm reading it, and all of a sudden, they got a little number by the word. And it tells me to go look up that number. I go look up that number, and it brings me to a quote from Deuteronomy. So how many know what I'm doing when I see that? I'm reading Deuteronomy. I'm reading what it said. Then I say, okay, that's why he said that, because it said in Deuteronomy. And I see every reference that Yeshua made was from the Torah. So you know what I believe? That's critical for the church today. Critical. And without it, we're going to fail miserably. You think you're going somewhere and you're not going there. We don't have to live that way because all we got to do is humbly submit ourselves. Now, Yaakov, he had already become a big man now. He's got all these boys. I think at this time he's got 11. Because Benjamin's not born yet, but he's going to be. He's got his wives. He's got the concubines. He's got all these herds and herds because the Lord was just blessing him. He was showing him how to make the spotted and the speckled. I mean, everything he was doing was good. It was all strong herd. And so he took, I think it's 580 total, 580 animals and gave that to Esau. At that time, I don't know if you understand bank accounts, but that would be emptying all of our bank accounts here and giving it as a gift because we made a mistake with somebody. You understand? That was how they lived. That was their store. That was their savings. That was their checking account. All those animals meant a lot for survival of a people. He gave it as a gift. If he gave that as a gift, I wonder what he had. Think about that. He didn't say he gave his all. He gave it as a gift. And I like how he gave it. He gave it in increments. You know, if you get yourself in trouble because you say something out of the ordinary with your wife, sometime you can get back in good standings with increments. Let's just use $100, for example. So you put $100 and she goes, sure. You put $2, $3, $4. You getting there. Keep on. You getting there. $5. Now, it's letting you know that I'm softening up to the mistake you made. Now, I don't suggest that. I'm just using it as an example. Don't suggest that at all. But I'm just showing you that's what Esau did. That's what Yaakov did. He said, go out the first drove, put distance between drove and drove. He said, bring the first drove. And they went out there and they went, man, who's all this stuff for? That's what Esau asked. He said, who's all this stuff for? He said, well, it's for you. It's a gift from Yaakov. Okay. But he's still mad at him. Goes to the next grove. He says, who's all this for? It's for you. It's a gift from Yaakov. All right. See how he used it? As a tool. Third grove. Now he's able to contact each other without him just shooting him with a bow or something. You understand? From a distance. Because the whole goal was to meet face to face and get it settled. I hope this is helping you. Because this sure helps me. Yaakov reminds Jehovah of his word, not because Jehovah needs reminding, but because we do. And faith comes by hearing his word. And Jehovah delights in the fact that we can speak his truth back to him. It shows that we are in fact hearing and guarding and doing his commands. So when we remind him of something that he said, you don't remind him because he needs reminding, but you need to hear it again that he said it. And so when I come across this, I thought about people get a word from Jehovah. They get a word from the Lord. It may come through a person. And if I took five of you up here and I asked you back that service when the Lord gave a word to you, I want you to give me five statements from that word that you remember by heart. Some of you could do it because it meant something to you. Some of you don't have a clue what was said at all. That's not good. Let me tell you why it's not. Because if you don't remember it, you can't remind Jehovah what he said. And you say, well, whose responsibility is it? It's yours. The word was delivered to you. It's your responsibility. Do you believe that it's Jehovah? Or did you take it because it came from a man? I could have did that. Me and Charlotte could have definitely did that. It's just Ivan Tate. I don't even know who he is. He might not even be right. It didn't make a difference to us if he was right or not. What made a difference is the word of the Lord came forth and we received it as a word from Jehovah. That's what we received it as. We wasn't looking at his credentials. It didn't make a difference. If he could speak through a donkey, he could speak to people. And it didn't make a difference. You know, the donkey, you don't go to the donkey and say, are you kosher? Are you eating right? You're not asking that. Thing's speaking. I don't care what he eats. I'm hearing what he's saying. You understand? And so we want to analyze the speaker rather than hearing the word that Jehovah has for us, and we miss the whole blessing. It's absolutely craziness to be that way. Listen, I received it for myself that Jehovah was speaking to me, and he said, when you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. I received that for myself, and it meant something to me. He said, I'll go before you, I'm in front of you, I'm behind you, I'm on both sides. I received that for myself. And so I hadn't been walking alone. I hadn't walked alone a long time because I believed that for myself. He's with me everywhere I go. No matter what I'm doing, he's with me. And I'm thankful for that. And let me tell you, it's brought about the results that we're in now. And that means something to me. I have to make sure that I listen to him regardless if I understood it. Did I understand? I didn't understand 10% of that. I didn't understand at the time. I was like, okay, this is way out there. And this is from a guy who just got finished throwing water on everybody in the church. The message he was preaching was about a fat heifer or something like that, calling people heifer. I was like, okay, that don't really set with me. But I couldn't let that get mixed up, you see? What happens is God's testing you. How are you attached to the man or are you attached to my Torah? And at the time, I wasn't calling it that, but I was a man of the word and a man of the spirit, and I knew one thing. If Jehovah's speaking, I'm listening. I knew that. Just because I didn't call it that didn't mean it didn't mean something to me. The word meant something to me. From the time that I said yes to the Lord, the word meant something for me. Let me tell you, I spent my entire life in this thing. And it meant something to me. Whether I understood it fully or not, I can only understand what he opens to me. When he opens it to me, I was not afraid to speak it, even though fear gripped me. It gripped me. But I wrestled with it. I wrestled with it and wrestled with it and wrestled with it. And I wrestled with it. And I asked Charlotte for a calculator, and I just calculated, what it is, 33 years or something like that? Yeah. 32? 34? So how many messages do you think that I was responsible for in that many years? Responsible for us. I have to make sure I have a message prepared. That's going to take some time. You want to add that up? 52 weeks for every year? I guess up in the thousands, amen? So it meant something to me. So I wrestled with it. I wrestled with it for a long time. But I knew what he, it's what he said, so I wasn't going to let go of it. If I'd have let go of it, where would we be? I wrestled with it because I knew he said it. And if he said it, wrestling with it, he's not trying to convince you what he said. He's trying to get you to realize that you can't be the way you are and receive this. I had to receive it and be okay with it and settle it. And it's what he said, period. It don't make no difference after that. But we was willing to receive what men said without even questioning it. We were real good at that. We just, that's what they said. They said it. I didn't know. You know, we take the approach, well, I didn't know no better. That's, you think that'll work? You think that'll work? Go to court with, I didn't know. I'm not from here. I didn't know the speed limit was 35. I was doing 60. Go to court and see if that works with the judge. He don't care. That's why they got posted signs. The time I seen the sign, I was flying through and the guy was there, got me right away. Yanni, you ought to let me go because I didn't know. Is that what we're going to use for Yehovah? I didn't know Yehovah. Well, I tried to get it to you. I really did. But you wouldn't wrestle with the Torah. You wanted to keep your mind the way you wanted it, and you never let me change anything about you. We got to let him change us. Let him do the work. When you let him do the work, you can't look back and say, well, I only did it because Pastor said it. And if you're here, let me just clear this up. If you're here doing what we're doing because I said it, you're here for the wrong reason. You haven't wrestled with this thing. You got to do it because you know that's what he said, period. You're doing the feast days because you know that's what he said. You keep Shabbat because you know that's what he said, and it's settled inside of you. That's a man who wrestles with Yehovah. Then you fulfilled that. Now you can go to the next level. You can't have a name change until you get squared away in the Torah. Because remember, the name represents your character. Now you're ready to be Israel. You're ready. You're ready for that. Here we see how Yaakov had held fast to the words for 20 years and had not forgotten the covenant promise. How many people today can't even remember what his word says a month or a year later? We must hold on to his sure word and not forget it. You got to hold on to it. You're living proof, and you've heard me say it time and time again. I can't quote every exact word of the prophecy, but I can quote most of it. You know that to be a fact. You've heard it many times. And I reference it many times because it's what he said. It's the last thing that he said to me as far as giving me instructions on what to do. And I need to fulfill those instructions till the end, until he's finished with that. And that has to mean something to you. If you haven't fulfilled the instructions he's given you, you ought to be pursuing it with everything that's in you. You ought to be wrestling with the Torah. That's what you hold on and not let go. Yaakov asked Yehovah to deliver him from his brother's hand. And the Hebrew root word that is translated as deliver is Natsal. Strong's H5337, meaning to strip, plunder, deliver one, be delivered, snatch away, deliver, recover, escape. We see this word being used again in verse 30, where we see Yaakov say that he had seen the face of Yehovah and his life was preserved. He's seen the face of Yehovah. And this is after, and he's wrestling. And what does he have? What does he take away from this? He says, I seen the face of Yehovah and my life is preserved. I didn't die. Now, how do we know something changed in him? He didn't die. They see, I was saying, what's that saying? But did he die? Did it? You know, people say, you just don't know how bad it is. It's just terrible. But did he die? You don't have no idea what the struggle that Yaakov was in, but my question is, did he die? He said, my life was preserved. How do we know his life was preserved? Because he said, we went on to be Israel. But listen, how do we know he had a life change? He didn't die. He let the Torah do the work because that was his day. You're either going to be buried on this ford and you're not cross over, or you're going to get it right. How many want to get it right? Think about it. Can you imagine? You get in the water, you're about knee deep, walking across, you come up, now you're on the land, the ford, and you're looking, it's about knee deep on the other side, and you stop right there and you got to get it right. Nobody with you, just you and God. Sometimes we need a us and God moment in our life, and we'll get past a lot of the hiccups we got and a lot of the stuff that we think is a real problem. And it's only a real problem if you let it be Ra in your life and not change it to Tov. You change it to Tov because now you're actually... Now your name is Israel. Now you're functioning the way I created you to function. Now you're ready to go. Now. Until then, he was dealing with fear and all kinds of stuff gripping him. Chapter 32, verse 13, and he spent the night there and took what came to his hand and as a present for Esau, his brother, 200 female goats, 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 suckling camels with their colt, 40 cows and 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys and 10 foals. You ever wondered this ratio, why he does it that way? Because Yaakov was a master farmer when it came to livestock. He was the master at it. And Laban loved him because then this guy, everything he touches is blessed. He knew the ratio to put bulls and cows, he knew exactly what to do because he knew that it would explode. Once you put that ratio together, it's explosion. After that, you're just going to have more than you know what to do with. It's 580 is going to turn into 10,000 quickly. And Esau knew that. Because so the gift and the ratio that he's seen, he's not giving me all these cows and one bull. He knew he was trying to pull one on him. Esau knew this, and Yaakov knew what Esau knew. He knew that he was a man of the world. He knew that he was involved in livestock. He knew that he understood this. So Yaakov couldn't just send the worst he had. So we know it was the best he had, and the ratio was absolute perfect. If you're looking at the livestock ratio and how to do things, Esau would have went and said, that trickster, he's up to it. Still he's up to it. This is what he did before. I'm just going to wipe him out. He knew that the ratio had to be perfect. So this is not just throwing numbers around. This is the perfect ratio for livestock to explode and to multiply like you've never seen. And Yaakov was real good at it. And who did he give credit to? Who did he give credit to? He said, I don't deserve none of it, Yehovah, but I thank you that you blessed me with this. And you see how he's getting him right? He's getting him ready to be called Israel. It's absolutely phenomenal. And he gave into the hand of his servants every drove by itself and said to his servant, pass over before me and put some distance between the drove and drove. And he commanded his first one saying, when Esau, my brother, meets you and asks you saying, to whom do you belong and where are you going? And whose are these in front of you? Whose are these in front of you? Who's he talking about? Whose are these in front of you? Speaking of that gift. Then you shall say, they are your servant Yaakov's, and it is a present sent by my master Esau to my master Esau. Notice his words to him. You tell him, he's my master. Humbling himself, giving himself. And see, he also is behind us. And so he commands the second one, the third one, and all who followed the drove, saying, speak to Esau the same words when you find him. And you shall say, also look, your servant Yaakov is behind us. For he said, let me appease him with the presence that goes before me, and after that, see his face. What was he doing? He was softening up Esau with gifts, softening him up, because he knew he had a hatred toward him, and that hatred was multiplying for 20 years. A hatred that's festering for 20 years is like a ticking time bomb. And Yaakov knew it. God knew it. So if I put them two face to face right now, it's going to be hell to pay. It's going to be something. I'm not going to do that. But I'm going to work on Yaakov. Remember, God works in the background. He's working on him. Okay, Yaakov, this is what you got to do. The test is before you. What are you going to do? And Yaakov has to decide these things alone, by himself. He has to decide. He goes out to the flock and he says, man, I love these. I've been working with these for a few years now. I'm not giving him them. Would that have been the right attitude? He's not getting these. He might can have these, but he ain't getting these. Listen, the Torah is teaching us when you're going to be a blessing to somebody, Don't give them what you don't want. Give them what you like to have. Then you can say you really blessed somebody. You understand? But the moment we start looking at it and say, well, I'm done with this. This is kind of old. I'll give it to you. That's not the right attitude. And let me tell you, I may never know that. People sitting beside you may never know it, but Yehovah knows it. And he's telling you, you didn't learn that from me. You did that on your own. You didn't learn that from me because I didn't teach you that. And so, listen, Yaakov has learned some things for 20 years. He's learned that I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the guy I was. And he had to bring a change because now he's got to match the character that he's going to be portrayed in his name change. And that character that he had before wasn't going to match that. And present in the present past over before him, but he himself spent the night in the camp. Yaakov gave as a present for his brother 580 animals, 200 female goats, 20 male goats, 200 ewes, 20 rams, 30 nursing camels with their colts. So that would make what? 30 and 30 is 60. Cows and 40 cows, 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys and 10 male donkeys. This was a huge present. How much did Yaakov have? Proverbs chapter 18, verse 16. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. So your gift's got to matter. Does it have to matter? Especially when you're giving to Yehovah. When you're giving to Yehovah, it's got to matter. You got to tell you gave it. Can Yaakov tell that he gave this gift? Absolutely. He felt this gift. He felt it all the way. Sometimes we're willing to give, but we're not willing to give where we feel it. Gets difficult, don't it? There was certainly a strategy behind this, and he had obviously spent the night thinking what he could give his brother to appease him, and he used great discretion and insight into knowing what would capture Esau's favor, who was a man of the field and would have loved the large increase of flocks, despite his latter reluctance to receive the gift, which was only a show, as he quickly took after a little persuasion. Each drove would be a wave after wave of presents for Esau, and this was certainly a tactic to soften his heart. In verse 20, we see that Yaakov's motive behind the gifts, as he says, that he wanted to appease Esau with his presence. What is interesting to note is that the word appease here is from the root word kafar. This was so powerful. Kafar, Strong's 3722, which means to cover, over, pacify, make propitiation, atone. It's where we get the word Kippur from. Let me see where this is going. As a noun, it can also carry the meaning of a ransom, gift, or to secure favor. It literally means to cover over or smear with pitch, as in the sealing of a ship. Why do we got to seal the ship? Because we don't want it to what? Sink. You can get on it, and it could be all painted nice, but if you didn't seal it, it won't be long. It'll be at the bottom. I can remember here my grandpa Gus told me a story one time. He says, in Lafitte, we had the shop there, and you built the boat right there and launched it. They had a little launch right there from the shop. It wasn't far from it, just across the little shell road there. He said, I see guys all the time. They in a rush. They put the boat in the water. They didn't caulk the boat. He said, I look over there. I said, your boat sunk. He said, I look, the boat, they just got finished doing brand new. It's brand new. Got fresh paint on it, but it sunk right there. What good is it? Because you didn't smear it with pitch. You didn't do what was necessary to make it complete. And so, listen, you don't want to spend your whole life only to sink, do you? So the stuff that's, if you find yourself, you come into a place and you don't know what else to do, I can tell you what to do. You got to grab hold to the word and you got to wrestle with it. You got to hold on to it until you are willing to do what it says. Because if you think it's going to change for you, you're going to be holding on to it for a long time. It won't change. The moment you realize I have to do what it says is when you're going to see victory come your way. You got to do what it says. Sometimes we think it's going to change. If I hold on long enough, I'm going to get my way. That's manipulation, and you never want to live your life that way. Don't live your life that way. All it does is cause trouble. It never gets better. You don't hold on till you get your way. You have to make sure that you do what it says, period. It literally means to cover over, to smear with pitch, as in the ceiling of a ship. Therefore, kafar, or atonement, means to cover that which is bare or naked or shame, and also means to smear the ship so that your ship will not sink and drown all those aboard. You don't want to be responsible for somebody else's life because of the way you lived your life. People do that all the time. They live their life the way they want to live. I'm going to do what I want. They get in their car and they drink and drink and drink, and then they're driving, and all of a sudden they hit a family and kill all the family. Can you imagine living? You live and you survive. Now you're living with all that. You know, they had, you see it all the time on the news. They had two little boys and a little girl, and mom and dad dead, and the guy, he survived. Happens all the time. Doing what you want to do, and you don't do change, and what happens? The whole boat sinks, and everybody aboard done in. And we see all the time families. We have a husband. He won't want to do right, and he watches his whole family just sink. Thank God that you here saw the ship sinking, and you realize that's my fault. And you jumped in, buckets a-blazing, and you went to town and you did something about it. You held on to the word and let Yeshua come in and change you. Isn't that amazing? That's what he does. And that's what we have to realize, that he's there. He's not stopped doing that, by the way. Sometimes we get it and we think he stopped doing it because we don't see much. He's not stopped doing that. There's people that he wants to do that for. When's the last time we stopped and talked to somebody that we know he can help like that? And he helped you. The Hebrew word for atonement, which is derived from this word, is kapor, Strong's H3725. The word kafar is used in reference to atoning offering in the temple, and we know that the atonement offering of bulls and goats did not remove sin. The atoning offerings of bulls and goats did not remove sin, but only covered them. That would bring the winner closer for his guilt, and by a definite act of confession would put him in a place to receive forgiveness. Here, in an attempt to cover over his wrong with Esau, Yaakov sought to appease him with these animals with the hope that there would be a closure for his guilt. Little did Yaakov know that it was Jehovah who had chosen to remove the birthright from Esau and give it to Yaakov. You ever wondered that? When you read that, you go, okay, so why is he on a hook for all this stuff? Because it was Jehovah's plan doesn't mean that Yaakov didn't act out that type of character. He just put the right players with the right character in position. It was always Jehovah's plan to select Yaakov, and the means that he got the birthright, we look at it and say, well, man, that was not right. But it was his character. God just selected the players. The players acted it out and said, well, if Lord knows what, and so you and I, what changes a person's character? The words of Jehovah. Remember that. If you're not happy with your character, you can change it. You can change it, but you got to wrestle with it. It's not going to be, well, Lord, I'm not happy with my character. If you can do something to help me, I need some help. And you move on. You got busy. You're busy. You ain't got time to wrestle. You ain't got time to pray over this. What's the chances of your character changing? Zero. It's not going to change. If you want change in your life because you're tired of the way it is, you got to wrestle with this thing. You got to grab hold to it and say, Lord, let your word change me. Here's how we want to do it. Lord, I don't like what's going on in my life. And if so-and-so would just change, if they would change, I'd be better. Because they get under my skin every time I look at them. They need a change. Don't you think God's trying to take that part of you out of you that gets under your skin? See, it's always easy to look out and project it on somebody else rather than dealing with it for ourselves. We have to let the Word of God do the work in us, period. Let Him do the work. He wants to. He did not do wrong yet, did not want to fight with his brother. And we too must learn that we must do our utmost to seek true shalom with our brothers who are still in the world, who knows they may respond to the true light and accept Messiah. And we recognize that we do not need to make atonement for or try to appease any other man. For we who have been immersed in Messiah have been covered, atoned for by his blood. Amen. Thank God for his atoning cover. The Hebrew word kofir, Strong's H3724, means pitch as a covering and also carries the meaning of the price of a life. And this word is also the name of the henim plant as used in Song of Solomon chapter 1 verse 14. My beloved is to me a cluster of henim blossoms in the vineyard of En-Gedi. Now this henim blossom, I got 4 hours left? Wow. Man, I'm tell you what, I'm feeling the blessing. Kafar also means to ransom, and so we know that Yeshua has paid our ransom and atoned for us. It also means to reconcile with someone who has the power of death over you and to pacify one who has the power to do you harm. We must realize that the punishment for sin is death, and no sin goes unpunished. Through the atoning of Yeshua for our sins, we are reconciled to the one who has the power to put us to death. The word used here for present is minkah. Minkah, Strong's H4503, and means a gift, tribute, meal offering, or present. The grain offering in the Hebrew is also known as minkah, and there is no blood in this offering, therefore does not represent atonement for sin. However, it does still represent the one bringing it is in symbolic of the work of our hands as it is prepared by the one bringing the offering. Once we accept the atoning work of Messiah, we must not stop there. We must rather continue daily in bringing him our all as we recognize clearly that what we do daily does count. Very important. So we get saved. Thank God for salvation. Amen. But what we do daily matters. It counts. And so we don't have to bring an atoning offering daily. We already had that done for us through Yeshua. But we have to bring the grain offering as it represents something we prepare with our own hands. And we're making ourselves available to make sure that we're working toward a better relationship with Jehovah on a daily basis. If you're not doing that every day, where somehow you think, well, the blood of Yeshua has got me, I'm good, and we kind of just live the way we want to live, that's not being an example. That's not, we're missing the point. And so, same thing with Yaakov. Yaakov says, okay, I recognize I did wrong. What I did was wrong, and I'm going to do something to show my brother that I'm sorry. What are we doing to show Jehovah that we appreciate the atoning blood that was shed that covers us? What are we doing to show him that? Are we making ourselves available, or we never have time? Are we making sure that we're attending when we can, or are we too busy to do that? Are we making some decisions in our lives that really matter, and we're showing him that we mean this? Think about that. What are we doing in our life that shows that we are giving thanks for what he's done for us by giving us the atoning blood? What are we doing every day? And we should be doing something on a daily basis to show him that we're presenting well. What is the last thing you presented to him? Whether it's your time, whatever it is, your effort that you put forth, monetary purposes, whatever it is, what are you showing him that you're thankful for what he's done for you? We ought to be doing something on a daily basis. Every day we should be spending some time showing him that. There was no slaughter with this present being given to Esau, and while it was not grain, it represented that which came directly from the hands of Yaakov, and so we see an earnest plea for peace being extended. In Romans 12, verse 18, if possible, on your part, be at peace with all men. Now we know this is impossible to be at peace with all men. But that's, he knows that. That's why it said the way it said. But if possible on your part, you can't control what somebody else does, but on your part, you have to be at peace with all men. That's a command. And this command is directed to us by the apostle. That's directed to him by Yeshua HaMashiach. And we can get around this. We have to, if possible, be at peace with all men. That's why he said, uses the, if it's possible. Because he knows it's impossible when you're dealing with people's minds and what they want to do. But as far as you and I is concerned, we ought to make every effort to make sure we're performing this with everything that's in us. Amen? Because you know it only takes a split second to be at odds with somebody and words get said. It only takes, it's quick, just like that. Just like that. Sometimes they don't even take words. It could be a look. It could be something that somebody assumed. Driving down the highway, and you didn't see them, honestly didn't see them, but they waved and you didn't wave. I don't know what's wrong, Pastor. I passed and a wave didn't even look at me. And you say that in a restaurant. You see? Before you know it, you think got out of turn. We shouldn't do that way. If that bothered you, you got way much more thing going wrong inside of you, I can suggest to you, get a hold to the Torah and get it fixed, because you got to wrestle and get some things squared if that bugs you. You're not ready to do what Yehovah's called you to do. You're not ready for the name change, because if that's still bugging you, you got other problems that have been there for a long time. You got to wrestle and let the Torah do the work in you. Probably going to stop right there. I'm way over already. And I got a lot more to talk about. So I already had 105 slides is what I had. And so I don't know what made me make another 100, seeming I would get there. But I told the Lord before I got started, I said, Lord, I don't need one of the slides. I don't need one of them. I'll say whatever you want me to say. And so I yield to you. But listen to me. If we don't prepare ourselves, you can't yield to him if you're unprepared. Because he won't show up for you. But we learned some valuable lessons this morning. Some great lessons. And we ought to act on those lessons and do what we've been called to do. And that's why I know I wasn't going to get to Yaakov wrestling side. I put it in between all the slides. I just put it in between for everybody. I said, Lord, you ain't no way I'm getting to these, but Lord, you know how to do it. You're the master at it. I just yield to you by your spirit. And so he managed to get us right, got us all the way through it, and I didn't even have to use 100 slides. Isn't that good? He's so good to us. I love him. I appreciate him. And I love to spend time in his word. I love it. I love to spend time. But let me tell you, it gets to be taxing on you. It'll get taxing on you. So what do you do when it's taxing on you? You pray. You don't quit. You pray and say, Lord, it's taxing on me. What I need to do? And most of the time you'll find out there's about four or five other things you can get rid of besides the Torah that we think we got to give up. You can give up. And that's what I do. I'd rather give up the other stuff than give up the Torah. because that's the life source. It's the pure living water. And so this Torah is incredible. And so I appreciate all of you. Now, I'm going to ask, anybody need prayer?